What's up, Packers fans? Aaron Negler here with Cheesehead TV. Welcome back to Carry the G with A.J. Dillon. Obviously, we took a week off for the bye week, but now we're back and ready to roll. Joining me tonight live from Green Bay is, of course, my co-founder at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky, live from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Corey, what is going on, my brother?
What's up, Packers? Sunday Night Football with a win. Let's get the man himself. It's his show. You're not here to see me, Nagler. Let's go.
Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome a man who carried the ball 15 times on Sunday for 71 yards, punishing the Bears along the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
There he is.
What's going on, everybody? Happy to be back. Did some hunting over the weekend.
Yeah, clearly. Still in hunting. You're in a shanty right now. I can tell. It's good. Yeah. So how was the bye week? You had a nice week off. We haven't talked to you. Obviously, we all follow you on social media, but how was the bye week? You get away? You can decompress a little bit?
I was right here in Green Bay. Didn't go anywhere. I moved. Me and the fiance got a new house, so.
Congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate it. Got some roofs down here, and besides that, just kind of relax and, I don't know, watch some TV, some good movies, play some video games, hit up Culver's a couple times. About it.
That's good. That's good. Coming out of a bye week when you are kind of just taking it easy, trying to get away, is it hard to ramp it back up? I mean, you guys, clearly you take a pounding, and especially you have a late bye week this year. To get into such a good groove, the season's going along, and then you do have a week off, which I got to imagine is great. But then to ramp it back up, is that difficult?
Nah, I mean, honestly, I was getting a little excited. To get back out there. As much as, you know, the human in me was looking forward to the bye week, after a couple of days of just kind of doing nothing, I'm like, all right, like, it's time to get back out there, time to go do this thing. So, no, it was definitely well-needed time off, but it was great to get back, and everybody's refreshed and ready to go for the last little long haul we got.
Now, obviously, you played the Bears. You guys whooped up on them in a very strange game. I got to ask about the shirt that Allen wore post-game. He said that you made it after the first Bears game, saying, I still own you. How quickly did you get those turned around? Like, have they had those now, like, since the last game? Like, how quickly did you do that?
I got those in there, I think, before we played the following game after that. So they were there pretty quick. I put them up on my website for, like, 5 minutes, and I was like, it's probably better to just keep this, just all the guys, just have it, nice little memento. But yeah, I gave it to all the offensive guys, and then the few I had left over, I gave to some of the defensive guys. But it's cool.
I love it. I love that he wore it, and I love that both he and Rodgers gave you a shout out for it. Now, talking about the game itself, like I said, weird game. You guys start a little slow on offense, but then, you know, score some points, and then you go into halftime. What was the mood like? I mean, we've heard, you know, Preston spoke and said some stuff, and. You know, I think on the outside, you know, we always imagine a fiery coach laying into you guys, et cetera. But I got to imagine that's not really the case. What was halftime like for this game?
I think it was pretty much just like take a breath, you know, take a deep breather. We're still in this game and very much in this game. And we've done a lot of stuff to put us behind. You know, we were really self-inflicting wounds and we were pretty much spot on points. And we were still in the game, very close. So just take a deep breath, go out there, refocus, do our job, nothing more, nothing less. And the rest will take care of itself. And then that second half, we got out there and, you know, everybody stepped up and made plays and got out of there with the dub. That's all that matters.
That is very, very true. Yeah. Talk about guys stepping up and making plays. You yourself were pretty much featured in that first drive of the third quarter. It was interesting hearing Matt talk about taking plays that they hadn't run yet, but they had in their script and kind of resequencing them. I can't wait to ask him about that. But for you, is that an instance where do the coaches say, okay, AJ, we're gonna pound the rock now. We're gonna lean on you. Or is it just AJ, get out there, we're gonna run a bunch of plays and you just happen to be featured?
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, that drive definitely wasn't we're gonna pound the rock. Obviously, when, you know, I can kind of tell the tide of the game when we got into that fourth quarter. And I mean, when we started that 4-minute drive, we took like 7-8 minutes off. We started with 13 minutes on the clock before. It wasn't a run the game out. We're not that conservative. it just happened so that we were just moving the chains and running out the clock. And then I'm sure, like, as we crossed the 50, we're like, shoot, let's keep going. And then into 7 points. So, you know, I just think, you know, I'm starting to gain some trust, which is, you know, I always talk about on here. That's my main goal. It's always been my main goal, get that trust. And, you know, I'm getting more comfortable. Like I say, each week, get more comfortable out there. So I feel like I'm trusted in different situations. And, you know, it's been really fun.
Talk about, like, the way you guys came out in the second half. That first drive is so methodical in the third quarter. And pretty much everything you guys did on offense, you mentioned the long drive there to wrap it up, but the entirety of the second half, did it feel like, can you feel it where you feel like offensively you're in a rhythm? And it's a very kind of, it's not easy to quantify. It's not something I think you can pinpoint, but do you feel it in the sense of the first half was pretty disjointed? Is there a point in the second half where you're like, oh yeah, we're grooving now?
I definitely, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but I definitely felt it, especially when I started to get going. I had I don't know how many carries I had in the first quarter, but
not a lot, AJ. I can tell you that it wasn't a lot.
I know it wasn't a lot. And I know two of them were like obvious, like run situations. We had the one on the goal line, away from the tunnel, that end zone where the guy ran through as soon as I got the ball. And then, I don't know. It was kind of just like a discombobulated, you know, first half. But, you know, for myself, I started to get in there more, started to get a couple series. And I definitely felt like I was, you know, hitting that groove. And I feel like everybody else did as well.
Well, AJ, I was in the stands. And I just want you to know that whether I'm in the stands or on watch party, if you don't get the ball in like the first three or four plays, I am yelling at Matt, either personally, like there in the stands, or through my computer screen. So, Just know that in your heart of hearts that is happening.
I appreciate the support.
I mean, you especially when you come
out. It's so funny because I remember being out there and I was like, that sounds like Nagler, but there's no way. There you go.
Very good. Very good. Well, especially when you come out, you guys go three straight passes and punt. Man, I tell you what, you're never going to hear the end of it. All right, let's bring in our esteemed guest panel. We have, I'm telling you, people, this is an all-star crew right here. We have Tom Grassi. We have Perry Goldstein and Tim Backus. Look at this. This, ladies and gentlemen, the cream of the crop when it comes to producing Packers content on the internet.
Honored to be in your presence. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you stopping by. A little nervous for these questions. I feel like they're probably so well written. So
these guys didn't mess around this week.
Tom's over there cracking his knuckles, getting ready. I don't know what he's been typing on all those monitors. No, I got to watch out.
Yep. Well, why don't Tom, he called you out, so why don't we start there. Tom, what do you got for AJ?
AJ, great to see you again. I'm loving the fit. You're looking great. All right, got two questions for you. Prepare yourself. So I want to go back a little bit. Hold on. I didn't know this was a modeling show.
Look at this. The quads look good in that. Look at that.
I was saying, those are accentuated. Those are looking great. Those are great. That's the
nice little buzzword we got.
All right. I want to go back to college just a little bit.
Yeah. Anytime.
Yeah. Looking at a master's degree again. But when you made the decision to forego your senior year, I've talked to previous players before and, you know, I've heard a litany of answers as to like what factors go into making that decision, whether it's staying another year or whether it's saying like, hey, I'm ready to jump into the NFL. And I'm curious in your certain circumstances, like what made you think like, hey, like I'm ready to jump in, you know, forego my last year and, you know, be eligible for the NFL draft.
You know, it's definitely a multitude of or multiple things. One that kind of just jumps out is similar to how I approach being on the Packers and what I want to accomplish. And I got these lofty goals. When I went to BC, I wanted to, you know, become the all-time leading rusher there. And I did that. You know, one of the biggest things I wanted to do was accomplish that. I got that done. And, you know, we went to another bowl game, three bowl games. And those 3 years, I started to feel myself becoming that, you know, all purpose back. And I was looking at the tape and I was talking to my running back coach, Brian White. And he was like, your tape, I don't know how much better your tape is going to get with an extra year. You know, the offense that we had when I was there was not somewhere where we featured the running back in the pass game. So it would have been another year of me kind of doing similar things like I had been doing. And so I felt like the tape spoke for itself. And then, you know, the rest, as far as I can't catch people at PFF, that'll you know, come to fruition one day. So, you know, I felt like I did what I did, and I definitely felt comfortable. I was looking for the next step.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, because it's like, hey, even if it isn't like the peak ceiling, right? PFF will just never give you the credit for it. You're like, hey, like you still went in the second round, so you did something right. I would say it was a good call.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. I think the combine helped me out a lot. You know, weighing in at 247, 7% body fat. Could still fit a couple of cheese curds in there. I see Perry. And then I had really good jumps. I had a good vertical, and then I had the highest broad and vertical in the running back class, the combine. And so I remember getting out of there, and then I ran a pretty good 40 for my size. And my agent was like, damn, I didn't know you could jump that well. And he was like, I'm telling you, I'm up here with these coaches. They like it. And I was like, all right, like, whatever. And, you know, sure enough, here I am, and loving every second of it.
There we go. I absolutely love it. I got one other question for you. So as you've been asked in press conferences and what have you, and I'm sure that you've seen Aaron Rodgers, whether it's in his own press conferences or on the Pat McAfee show, has been singing your praises for quite some time throughout this season. And how he describes you, you know, smart, young guy, you know, motivated, et cetera, et cetera. And I was curious, from your standpoint, like, how would you describe yourself as a teammate, like as a part of like the entire unit that is the Green Bay Packers, and like how you fit within that team?
Yeah. You know, it's always tough. I really tend to try to shy away from like talking about myself. I just hate that, but
it's a good thing we got a show for you then. That's great.
I appreciate you guys talking about me, and I can just retweet it. I'm like, yeah, AJ should have got the ball. No, I'm just playing. but in all seriousness, I would class it like trying to pinpoint how I am on the team. I'd say kind of like the little brother. You know, I'm still the guy who does like the little jokes and like, oh, did you drop this? And like, got him, like stuff like that. And, you know, I'm always kind of like looking up to the vets, and even guys that aren't vets, but like 3-4 years in the league, just kind of asking people how to do this better, or how to, you know, how I can get this better. I'm just constantly in there trying to take notes and, you know, learn from my mistakes. And, you know, the older guys are always, when I do make a mistake, helping me out, correcting me, saying they've been there before. So I feel like I just kind of fall into that little brother role, but I'm trying to learn as fast as I can and, you know, help out the team as much as I can. And, you know, I really do. I just enjoy it. I enjoy being part of the team. I enjoy the guys that we have in the locker room. It's a really fun experience for me.
Awesome. Thanks, AJ. Appreciate it.
That's a lot like, you know, Tim is when it comes to Cheesehead TV, just really pitching in and enjoying being a teammate. Perry,
accurate.
Perry has like a million questions, AJ. So I'm just gonna cede the floor here to Perry Goldstein. I'm gonna go like have a smoke. So Perry,
I'm not gonna ask them all. And also, AJ, I mean, you just had to flex on us with that 7% body fat. Yeah.
No big deal. They just don't add that when they say, "Oh, he's 250."
So funny. Yeah, I do have a bunch of questions. I'm not gonna go through all of them.
If you want, Perry.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got all night.
I give you full permission.
Okay. Well, I guess one more serious one. One's a little funnier. So we'll go with the serious one first. I mean, I think
let me put on my serious face.
I mean, you obviously been okay. This is
yeah, I'm back.
You're back. Okay.
Yes. Cool.
I mean, you've obviously been like such a difference maker this year, and I think Packers fans know that and see all that, and they see what a punch you and Aaron Jones are. Maggie and I, Packs What She Said co-host, we don't even like to call you and Aaron Jones the 1-2 punch. You're the 1-1 punch, because you're both just phenomenal. And so as fans, like, we've known that all along, but I've noticed a lot more that like the national audience is getting to see that more, and you've definitely been acknowledged more now that the Packers have been on primetime a couple times for your play on the field this season. So just curious how that like national acknowledgement makes you feel.
You know, it's always good to see. You know, I'm very aware of it. I think when Aaron did go down for those for that 1 week, and I had to start against the Vikings, I feel like that kind of put me into that. You know, obviously it was my first start, so that starting role. And it was kind of like, hey, like, are you ready to do this now? Do you still need time? And hopped in there, took care of business. Obviously, the game didn't end up the way we wanted, but, you know, I'm happy with the way I played and kind of held my own in that situation. I feel like that was another one of those confidence boosters, trust builders through the team and the coaches. And so, I mean, it was definitely cool to see. Like I always say, I read everything. I read everything you guys tweet. I read all the negative things. I stay right here. I like to see what people have to say. So, and every once in a while, I like to interact with people on it. So it's definitely really cool to see. Obviously, always dreaming of being in the NFL, and I had a starting game, running, actually really involved in the offense now. So it's really awesome to see, you know, that people are believing in me and things, but I also know just how quickly that can change. So, you know, I'm taking it with a grain of salt.
Fair. Even keel. We got your back. Yeah. All right. So we've seen you squash watermelons with your thighs.
Yes.
Wondering, can you return punts with them too?
I'm sure I might be able to catch some with the quads. I don't know. I just, when we're talking about returning, do I just like get some really sticky thigh pad and just take the ball, just put it on there? I just block with my hand. I just run and block. I mean, you know, we can see. We can try it out. It's worth it.
I would say suggest it. Like, we might as well try it.
Yeah. Hey, did you see me out there on the onside kick that I didn't realize that people couldn't advance? So this is a rookie move.
Right? I wasn't going to ask. AJ, I seriously wasn't going to ask. But so, I'm glad you brought it up.
Since we're talking special teams, that was a rookie move. Because I didn't realize that, like, as long as I'm kind of playing football, I guess I didn't really play special teams at Boston College, but when I was playing Pop Warner, like, if you return an onside kick, you could take it to the crib. So I saw 24 Herbert, I believe, pick up the ball and start running. I'm like, whew. So I'm on the other side of the field. And I was running real fast. I'm like, shoot, maybe if I, you know, send that to PFF, if I send that to Madden, it'll boost my speed rating from a 70 or so.
Oh, yeah, they got to get that up. That's nonsense.
Hey, but that was nonsense. Oh, man.
I love it.
Perry, I know you got more questions.
Yeah, she does.
All right, I'll go with one more. Because Maggie and I pulled some stats today and we were just kind of blown away. And this is more, I mean, like I just said about you and Aaron Jones just being an incredible tandem. But did you know that you both, so far this season's not over, have 1,802 yards from scrimmage and 13 touchdowns combined? Like, you both could very realistically hit 1,000 yards from scrimmage. That's crazy.
You know, yeah. You know, it's actually really, I didn't know that's where we're at. I just got alerted today that, like, I get across the 600 yard mark rushing because I get a little incentive from Nike. besides that, I don't really keep track of that stuff. But what I will say is at the beginning of the season, I told Aaron, and we were talking about it, we're like, you know, it only takes 59 yards a game, I believe, in the 17 week season to get 1,000 yards. And so we're like, hey, like, why don't we both do it? You know, like, why can't we both get 1,000 yards? So, I mean, it would be really cool. But, you know, it's obviously not the focus, but, you know, it'd be really funny because that's what we talked about in camp. We're joking around about it. So it would be pretty cool to have manifested that.
Yeah. Well, you're very close.
Very close. I love it. Perry, that was awesome, as always. Expect
fantastic.
Nothing else. And finally, Tim Backus.
Round of applause.
Tim Backus, ready to wrap up the panel. Tim, what you got for AJ?
Yeah, well, I will say first, before I jump into my questions, I before the year started, I picked you to hit 750 yards. So
okay.
You're right there. So, you got 150 against Baltimore this weekend, and you're all good.
Hey, so. Let's shoot super high.
Yeah. So, I just got a few questions for you here. I was at the game the other night, actually. Great time. Oh, I was driving.
I'm so sorry. I thought that was your question. I thought you were asking me if you were there. I was like, I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
Oh, there's Tim. I see him.
So I was at the game the other night, driving home afterwards. You know, we're listening to the radio. We're all hyped up. And one of the discussions that's happening is the radio host was talking about how one-sided the rivalry has been between the Bears and Packers over the last several years or decades. Basically his theory was that the series just doesn't mean as much anymore, right? Because beating them doesn't mean anything. So to me, I'm interested in hearing the player's perspective. Like, is a victory over the Bears like still just a little bit sweeter to you than to any other game?
Absolutely. I mean, especially the Bears, but all the NFC North teams, it really doesn't matter what the record is, where in the season it is. Those games just kind of have that extra little emphasis. I think for every team within the division, I'd say it's probably the same over with the Bears, the Lions, the Vikings. It's when we're playing one another, you kind of get a little fired up for that, and which makes it so great because at the end of the day, we're all competitors. And, you know, those games, like you're going out there and, you know, you never know what you're going to get. You really never do. And so, I mean, even that game against the Bears, it was neck and neck for a very long time. Like we were, but everybody was fired up and everybody was ready to go as long as it took. So it's really cool. And it's awesome to be a part of that. Like the oldest rivalry in football, it's pretty dope.
Wait, real quick, Tim, I know you got a couple of more questions, but AJ, as a follow-up to that, was there any chirping from Chicago, especially early when they jumped on you guys about the I still own you stuff? Like, was that prevalent at all?
There wasn't a lot of at least I didn't hear I still own you, whatever talk, but they had a lot of trash talking for sure. You know, tons at the bottom of those piles, a little extra bushes, guys calling me soft. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. It's
wait. A bear. Someone on the Bears called you soft.
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't end up well, but it's okay.
I like it. All right, Tim. Sorry. I had to know.
No, that's okay. That's actually kind of a good lead in to my next question here. So, speaking of being not soft, so there's a lot of guys in the analytics community, and I wasn't going to throw them under the bus, but since you already did, you know, PFF, or somebody
like that.
Yeah. You know, who say, you know, that they're like, oh, it's not worthwhile to establish the run, or you know, running backs don't matter anymore. And, you know, here you are, you're, what a lot of people kind of call a throwback player, at a position. You're finding a lot of success in this modern game. And so, from your perspective, I just wanted to hear, why do you think it's important to commit to the run? And the Chargers coach had a great answer about this a couple of weeks ago, but it's also really interesting, I think, to hear from a running back's perspective.
You know, I think obviously anytime you can play complementary football, especially on offense, you're really going to hit your groove. But the fact that, you know, I definitely think establishing a run game keeps the defense honest. I mean, for us, we got, arguably, depending on who you ask, but if you're asking me, the most talented quarterback to ever play the game of football behind center. So there's no way, there's no team in the NFL that's not going to respect him. You got to respect what he can do, how he can read your defense. And, you know, he's been doing that a long time. He's seen all the tricks. He's seen all that. So when you got a run game that's going, you know, it puts the defense in a really tough bind. It's hard to play both. And it's really hard to play when you got like superstars, like you got Aaron Jones, you got Aaron Rodgers, you got Devontae, like you got all these guys. Like it's hard to stop. So, yeah. but it's definitely hard to stop. And I also feel like a big portion of that is being able to control the clock. You know, pass game is fantastic, but you throw an incomplete pass, clock stops. And so when you want to kind of control the time of possession, when you go on to end a game and you want to close a game out, you know, establishing that running game, having the defense on the heels, that's demoralizing. You know, just like, dang, we got to just stop this guy from getting 10 yards. And you just run it, you get 4. You run it again, you get 5. Now it's 31. All right, we just stop him here. We're good. Take a breath. Run it and you get 2. And then they got to do the whole thing all over again. You know, it's tough. Defense doesn't want to be out there any longer. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, love it. Completely agree, too. And it's just fun to watch end of the game when you're just plowing over people. Yeah.
Fun to do.
I got one more question for you, non-football related. So, you've really embraced a lot of like Wisconsin classics so far. You know, the mayor of Door County, basically, you know, cheese curds.
Oh, What is this? there's only one key in Door County.
I was going to say. Nothing figurative about it. This is
one thing
fact.
I won't be shy about. That's one thing I won't be shy about.
I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm trying to talk you up here. All right. I apologize for the gestures. But no, I mean, you know, the cheese curds, the stock ownership, like you bought stock in the Packers. As a fellow connoisseur of all things Wisconsin, you know, someone who's lived here and loves the culture, I guess I would say, what is one thing that you have not experienced yet that you're looking forward to trying for the first time?
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate that, Tim. Obviously, someone else who appreciates the finer things in life. I haven't done ice fishing yet, and I believe I'm going to do it this off season. Don't know how enjoyable it's actually going to be just being out there and just sitting around. I kind of get bored of doing normal fishing, but I do love to try things. I love to try new things, and it's part of Wisconsin Midwest culture, so I will do it and try to have the most fun I can possibly have and see. I will come back and give you a recap, but that's definitely on my bucket list of Wisconsin things to do this offseason.
I love it.
Excellent. Love it.
I think Tom had a suggestion for something you could do.
What do you got, Tom?
Oh, Wisconsin.
Yeah. I mean, because you haven't tried it yet.
No, I mean, something.
If you could hold one of these, that would be great. That would be, yes. That would be the best thing you could possibly do.
That is true. That is true.
Or just one of these. Just one.
I mean, yeah. A little parade down Oneida. Huh?
There you go. Now we're talking. I love it. All right. He's been waiting patiently in the shadows. Let's bring him out. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Tyler and AJ's social life.
And we're live. We're coming to you live from the gulag. Here we are. Both of us are in the gulag tonight, man. What's up? You got a new home? You putting a gulag in the basement? What's going on, man?
Yeah, new home. That's why we got all this echo. I have no furniture in here. I just like set up my gaming system. I was like, good enough for now.
That's right. I have no excuse. I'm just visiting family, and they're like, stick them in the attic. They didn't care. They didn't care very much. Uh-oh, we got battery notifications popping up here. We're having all sorts of fun here. Hey, congrats on the new home, by the way. It's a new home holidays, respectfully.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that. We got hopefully a white Christmas going on. Lots of snow lately.
Let's go. I love it. You know, a lot of people are getting great gifts for the holidays. Mm-hmm. Take a look at this first picture that I pulled from your social media the past week. There's a lady named Julie who got two puppies for Christmas. And you know what they named them? AJ and Dylan. Is this the first time? Like, did you ever think coming into the NFL that someone's going to name their dogs after you?
You know, I definitely didn't, but it's really cool to see. And I'm really hoping that we can get those dogs adopted and, you know, have to find them a good home. But, you know, that was really heartwarming to see that. I had to throw that one a retweet. You know, everybody loves puppies. Who doesn't love puppies? You
know, puppies, it's perfect. Jordy Nelson was like probably the biggest name. If they did a survey, like it would probably like Jordy would be the number one name of like dogs in Wisconsin. So is AJ and Dylan going to take over? Like you're trying to break Jordy's record for number of dogs named after you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be really cool to just have all the dogs in Wisconsin be named Quadzilla.
There you go.
That'd be hilarious. Even better.
Just trying to beat that ratio.
Yeah, like imagine like you're at a dog park, like, come here, Quadzilla, and all the dogs look at you. All of a sudden, I come running out of the trees. Like, what's going on? You got some treats?
Got some treats? Some Scooby snacks?
Yeah, I love it.
Hey, speaking of snacks, you had some weird food hot takes over the past couple weeks. What's going on here? You trying to, like, shake up the whole internet with your food hot takes here? Take a look at these hot takes. What does this even mean? What pistachios, underwater pistachios? What is even in this other one? Like handheld salads? Take us through these hot takes, man.
Well, you know, anybody who gets a lettuce wrap, it can be, that is a handheld salad when you think about it. It really is. That one's just obvious. And then the oyster one, you know, I was at Chives and I was eating these oysters and, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was, I've been eating oysters all this time, and I've never looked at a oyster this way. They're literally just underwater pistachios. And to this day, nobody can prove me wrong. So
what makes it a pistachio, though? I don't get it.
It's a pistachio. The food is on the inside of the shell.
Yeah, just because it's in a shell.
Then you gotta crack it open to eat it.
Well, I think it's the effort to get to the food part is, I think, the correlation here.
It's so unnecessarily hard.
Like, yeah, totally agree.
One pistachio. That's why I just buy the pistachio brand. I just buy them already cracked in the bag.
There's plenty of other shell foods and nuts that you can compare it to. Like the pistachio is like so arbitrary.
Like what? Give me one.
Okay, let's go with the nuts, like the walnuts. You ever seen a walnut? You can't get into those things.
Those are all the way concealed, though.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we'll have to have this talk on Twitter a little bit.
No, for sure.
I don't know. I'm not 100% with you.
I love the spirit of debate.
Yeah. It's going to ramp up. I'm going to go do some research. I'm going to talk to some medical professionals and figure this out. You've also been extremely busy, obviously, throughout this bye week. I pulled like six things here. So let's do a little bit of lightning round. You got time for a lightning round, AJ?
I got nothing but time.
All right, man. Let's check this out.
Harry's got some more questions.
What's that? Tim?
Exactly.
All right, let's check this out. You got a charity softball game announcement coming up, the classic Green Bay Packers charity softball game. There's something special about this one. You're hanging out with our guy, Donald Driver, the Green Bay Packers legend. Tell us about this one you got coming up.
It's obviously the charity softball game's been around for, I think it's the 20th or the 21st annual. Last year they didn't have it, so it's kind of like, is it the 20th or the 21st? I don't know. But that'll be, that's TBD. But obviously great foundation. And this year, the Donald Driver Foundation, the proceeds are going there. And, just having the opportunity, this is my first time meeting Mr. Driver. And just kind of, being able to chop it up with him was awesome. And hearing all the things that his foundation does and has done over the years for Green Bay and just wherever it may touch is really cool. So I'm looking forward to it. And we got, I believe for the first time ever, they have the Legends softball. So all the Packer alum and the current players going head to head.
Love this.
There's going to be lots of trash talking.
So great. I cannot wait.
Today we played Wii Baseball Home Run Derby, and there was some fire competition going there. I obviously won, it's gonna be a good one for sure.
That is cool. You're gonna hit some dingers. You're gonna hit some homers out there.
I'm gonna try. So obviously this off season, you know what my workout program will be like, and it's like, yeah, I was in the diamond, just getting underhand tosses, playing some softball.
All right, I'll be in the stands. We'll do Angels in the outfield. We'll get you going. We're gonna hype you up, man.
Perfect.
It's gonna be great. Moving on to your next thing you got coming up. You started a podcast. We saw you put out the tweet. We made fun of you for not talking to Corey Behnke, the production master here, about getting your content together. But what's going on here? You got an Apple podcast now. You're doing it with your friend. Tell us about this podcast.
Yeah, the podcast is with my brother-in-law, Will, and so his last name is Tunin. My last name's Dylan, obviously, so we call it Tune Into Dylan. It's a little play on words, it's a little fun.
That's perfect. What marketing agency did you hire for that one? That's a great name.
This one right here.
When
it gets going, it's dangerous, Changes the way people look at food, all types of things, but... we're just kind of hanging out, kind of figuring out the whole podcast thing, but it's really lighthearted, not really too much football, just good stuff, lots of jokes, lots of digs at each other. It's been good. We're on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We're starting YouTube soon.
Sweet. We'll have to check it out. Another venture that you got, also in front of the camera this time, trying to get showing off that face a little bit more. We love it. You're on Twitch every single time I look. Every single time I look, I get a little notification on my phone. Oh, AJ Dillon live on Twitch, streaming that war zone. What's going on, man? You're spending like more hours online than Tom Grassi.
the bye week had me feeling like a middle schooler when you get that like winter break or high school or whatever. You get that winter break, like, let me just hop on the game with all my buddies. And, a couple of days went by and I'm like, wow, I just been playing video games all day. That's when I started doing Miss Football again. But, you know, it's fun. You guys know me. I love to interact with fans. I love to interact with the Packers community as much as I can. And so on there, I'm playing video games, which I would have done already for the same amount of time. And I can kind of talk to people. And sometimes I play with fans. I'll have them join. They can ask questions as we're playing. I'll get Alan Lazard on there sometimes or Kurt on there. And like, they're like, how often do you get to play video games with, you know, your favorite NFL players or whatever? So it's fun. It's cool to have that interaction.
It is too cool, man. I ate dinner. I was watching you and Alan play Warzone. I ate some dinner. I was on for a few minutes. I went to like bed a few hours later. I come up, you know, I'm just chilling. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning in Arizona. And I scroll through, you're on there playing Grand Theft Auto like 9 hours later. Yeah. It was hilarious. The commitment is fantastic.
It's there. I'm a man of integrity.
Sure. Yeah, clearly.
Clearly.
That reminds me of Grand Theft Auto when it first came out. We'd have lost weekends with that game. Are you kidding me? But you wouldn't know anything about that because that was before you were born. So anyway, make sure you head to ajdillon28.com for everything Quad Father, including tons of great merch, including a free signed Quad Father 8x10. With any order over $100, be sure to check it out. Big time thank you to our panel. Of course, Tom Grassi, Perry Goldstein, Tim Backus, legends and superstars, each and every one of them. Of course, Tyler Herrick with AJ's Social Life. For Corey Banky, myself, Aaron Egler, and the man, the myth, the legend, AJ Dillon, make sure you carry the G, and we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot, everyone. Have a great night.